Hello, hello. How's everyone doing? Hope you guys are doing great. Welcome to FC Chat episode 92. Today, obviously we have a patch that just recently came out last Tuesday, and we will talk about mostly, I mean, there's so much in there. I doubt we can talk about everything in detail, but we'll talk about mostly of the stuff that's in that patch. So for that, our first guest is known as maybe one of the most feared Bomber FCs, I would say, in EVE history. Used to be in Test, recently joined over to Horde. And yeah, welcome, Siku.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Then our second guest is one of the main FCs in Dock Workers, who are mostly flying around in low sec. Now, every now and then you guys like dip into null sec too, right? And that's one of the main reasons I'm curious to talk to you is the battleship stuff. I think they're gonna be very impactful in low sec, or particularly impactful there. So yeah, welcome, Velasius.
Yeah, thanks. You're pretty much spot on, as we live in low and like to just PvP and null occasionally. And yeah, battleships are huge in low sec. It's everything. So definitely a lot to change for us.
So jump right in. Like, what exactly does it look like in low? Is it just like battleship brawls every day now, or what? Did you have
For
some already?
anything structure based, it's if someone is too scared, then they're just gonna fly natos. But if it's like a decent looking fight, then yeah, it's gonna be faction battleships up the, up and everything, with a couple of exceptions where Shadow Cartel likes to field stuff like Abaddons and Tempests. But I think that's gonna be changing soon, because if you get like a Tempest fleet issue or a Leshak, something like that, you amulet that up, then you're gonna be above 450k EHP. So that's a nut to crack. So it's no longer, there's not gonna be like any artillery stuff, I don't think. I think it's just gonna be all under 20 kilometers faction
Shredder
battleships.
brawl. Yeah, I think hacks, like, what's the chance like a hack fleet is big enough to crack like a 400 plus K EHP battleship fleet, especially if they've got a fax with them, which is probably, that's probably the case, right? Like, you're not gonna bring like normal logis, because like you're gonna lose these.
Yeah, you might supplement with some guardians or some basilisks if you're doing a shield fleet, but yeah, you're pretty much always reliant on faxes and in these kind of fights. And once your fax gets capped out, then you just bring in another.
Yeah, so like, did you guys already have some battleship bronze or what? I think I saw a video with you guys in it, but I'm not sure.
There was one. It was in the middle of my workday, so I wasn't able to participate. But what I saw is people who were properly tanked and implanted and set up lived, and people who were not kind of went down as easily as before.
Yeah, and that's why, for people that might not be aware, why I'm saying it's going to be most impactful in low sec is obviously the implant situation. Like, obviously in low sec, the risk is way lower that you lose your implant set, so you can afford to actually push all your guys to bring a full on what is it, not slave, I always forget what the amulet
Amulets.
set, so a full on amulet set on Ivanas. And I mean, that just stacks so much EHP wise that it's just on another level, right, compared to null sec, where you have to assume that if you die in your battleship, you're also going to lose your pod. Right. And especially with the Frigg Escape Bay in low sec, you're gonna get away with that pod, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, it's very rare that someone loses a pod, and when they do, it's because they messed up. Like they warp to the sun, or they warp to a ping and went to their other character or something. And because there's always a couple Proteuses in every big fight, just waiting to get in on someone.
Yeah. So Tempest fleet issues. Do we see Macarials? They probably don't have the EHP quite as much, right?
Pre-patch, the Mercurial was like our premier kind of brawling ship, and considering this the scale that's happening now, it was pretty close between TFI and Mercurial, considering I made us run Tech 2 rigs, and most other groups ran Tech 1 in their TFI, so that kind of really bridged the EHP difference with giving us the extra mid. But nowadays, the scaling is far in more favor of the Tempest Fleet issue, that I don't think much of anyone will ever run a Brawling Mercurial ever again. I think it's going to be a mix of Tempest Fleet issues, even though they're like the most boring, I think, ship in the game. There's still people who can be flying Navpox and Amar Militia. Some people are still going to be having Damnations and stuff like that, like Snuff. They probably won't move away from that. And I think someone's going to be goofy enough to try Marauders. Someone's going to do it.
Yeah, and so my big question was actually, like, people got hyped about the battleship stuff, and I kind of did too, right? Obviously. I like the, like, when the meta changes a little bit, I'm always, like, I always get excited. We get to Pyfer a little bit and stuff like this, but do you think it's a good change for Losec? Do you think that's, like, a good thing, or do you think maybe they went a little bit too far when it comes to Losec stuff?
Overall, grand scheme, even outside just battleships, I think it's a great patch. There's a lot of things that are going to make things a bit more easier. Like, look at Basilisks, how they were before. Even with an EM Hardener, you're like 65% with the Vulture Links. Like, that's just ridiculous, and it's just going to fall over. But now, you're looking at being around 75% Links. So it's the patch overall, I think, is just going to open things up a lot more, which is a good thing. I think it was too easy to kill basically any cruiser. So from that sense, with the resist changes, I think that's huge and great. And then with battleships, yeah, there's going to be some ships with 450,000, 500,000 EHP. But I think that's actually still healthy. I don't think it's too extreme. If we got 60 battleships with autocannons shooting another ship, well, now he might actually have a chance to live. So it's like, when you get into kind of extreme numbers like that, I think overall it's good. I think if you're going to have like a super small engagement with like 15 battleships on each side, that's like, yeah, it's going to be difficult to kill someone without some dreads or something, but I think that's fine still.
Well, I took out smaller battleship fleets that are filamentable. It's tough in Nullsec, I gotta say. Like, you're putting yourself in the hands of, like, hostiles, really, right? Getting them anywhere is pretty hard, so you kind of have to filament. And then if you filament, obviously your fleet size is limited to 25, which then makes it fairly easy for hacks to still be, like, stronger, because they bring, like, 100 plus, right? But, you know, I tried anyway. And I keep trying, too. But I think I agree. I think the patch as a whole is pretty good. Like, pretty solid stuff. What about Blobs and Marauders? Like, you mentioned Marauders already. There's going to be, like, maybe, like, EHP Paladins or something.
Yeah, there's at least two groups in the game right now with a Paladin fleet. One group has used it, and the other has not yet. So,
oh, really? Who's the one group that hasn't used it yet?
I ain't saying anything.
It must be you guys, then.
Well, look, if you put a high-grade amulet on a Paladin, that's 800k EHP.
That is insane.
So it's like, and yeah, you could say, but the dreads are going to get on you. Well, it's only 30 seconds. Just ride it out with your 800,000 EHP. And then once it's over, then you have an afterburner, and you're basically a Navpoc with Tech 2 resists and Conflag or whatever.
Maybe if the meta changes to everyone's flying Paladins, full-on slave set, everything, then the meta changes again to Adi Naglfars, and everyone just feels Naglfars.
Oh, no.
And then Alpha's shit off the field, like, kapow. That's it.
Well, it's, you know, even in Null, like, I saw PL run Paladins in Null the other day, and they had amulets. You know, they lost some. Like, in, I know of another group that's, even if it's not
gonna, yeah,
be,
but
you know,
where
Paladin.
In Null do they run them? That's the big,
yeah, yeah,
in their own space. It's like,
but I still think there's gonna be some groups who are gonna run mid grades with,
yeah,
you know, like,
I've thought about it.
Their battleships,
yeah,
especially with the Escape Bay.
Yeah, what is a mid grade set? What, 650 mil or something? It's
up
crazy,
it's up to a bill now, which is more, but it's, I think it's still worth it in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you feel the Paladin fleet, it's worth it. Just because, like, if you fit that thing out, you're already at 1.8, I guess. I don't know. Up to 2 bill, maybe. And then adding another bill, who cares at this point, you know? Might as well. Because it's cheaper to not lose an expensive Paladin than to lose a cheap one, right?
You know, overall, you save more money over time. It's like I've never lost my Mercurial in low segments because I had high grades. But you know, if I was in mid grades, I probably would have lost two by now, and that makes up for the ist.
Yeah, no, you have to see it like that, I guess. What about blobs? I guess that's where Seeker would come in, because finally there's something we both use too, right? I never fly Marauders really, but blobs.
Yeah, home defense will be great for him, but I don't see him being used. Like, I don't expect to see like combat blob fleets out and about. I may be great if I did, but I just, they're so expensive and so easy to trap down in hostile space.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, home defense is pretty much what you said, right? It's pretty safe to use, pretty controlled environment. You know exactly what hostiles have, and you can just drop them. Unless it's bait, but who can afford to set up a bait?
Even if it's bait, you just light a Cyano and bring in a Fax or whatever, right? If you're home defense, because you'll have cap range. So you'll definitely see him used a bunch in home defense, I think. But as far as like blops offensively, probably not as much. I mean, some groups will because they want to use shiny toys, but cost effectiveness wise, I just don't see it.
In low sec, they're interesting. I know this is more than all, but in low sec with blops, I think they're actually incredibly common. I can think of pretty much every major low sec group actually has like Redeemers and
Combat Redeemers.
The Mimikar one. Yeah, and just like, and they'll just drop like 20 Redeemers on something, for example, if it's like outside like bridge range or whatever.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful, you're not gonna get escalated on. But in low sec you can escape pretty easily, right? You know.
Yeah, for the most part, yep. There was one incident, I guess I'll call it, with Big Ab or Deepwater Hooligans, where they, when dropping marshals four times in a row in the same system over 3 days, Snuff, you know, counter chopped them, but for the most part it's the risk is pretty manageable.
Once you get predictable, yeah, the risk goes way up. I was just doing the math. If I get 100 bombers, I can alpha your 600k paladin.
Yikes.
100 bombers? I mean, 100 bombers is not that much, if you think about it.
It isn't, though. Like, yeah. Not in a big alliance, so.
Yeah. Like, in a horde, innit, goons, fraternity, we can form 100 bombers fairly quickly, I'd say.
Yeah, so if you find a low sec fight nearby, whatever your null sec sub is, you can form some bombers and just go start alphaing faction battleships. That might be fun.
Yeah, and bombers, you must have gotten excited for the bomber buff. You know what? That was actually missing in the patch notes at first, which I think is kind of funny, right? It's like the bomber stuff was kind of cloaked in there. And on the first day, or maybe first 2 days of the patch notes, it was not even in there, which is... Those are the days most people read the patch notes, right? So
we tested it like the day of and found out that it was actually live, but yeah, we didn't see it in the patch notes. There's actually a Reddit comment that's the one that brought up the bomb deployment thing.
Yeah, CCP Aurora kind of fixed it.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What's your take on bombers? Like, are bombers going to see like a little bit more of a return? Or do you think it's still pretty tough for bombers? Like, I'm talking bombing bombers here, right?
I hope they make a return. I think that with the battleship meta, you'll have a lot more people trying. If the battleship meta makes it to null sec, then yeah, you have more bombers trying. Because the problem with speed hacks is they travel faster than the bomb, so they're almost impossible to hit.
Yeah, I mean, I did the math right away. Right, so let me explain my thoughts. Like, I'm thinking hacks are going to suffer from this a little bit. So... usually, and you can jump in whenever you like have a like some input there, but usually the problem would be there's a Munin fleet, it's burning around the grid, nice and tightly anchored up, pretty good bomb target if they were sitting still, you know. But so landing one squad is actually not that hard. You can warp it closer, like if they burn away from you, you warp at 10. If they burn towards you, you warp at 50 or something like this, right? And you can aim and then bomb. So landing one squad is usually not the issue. The issue then starts with, all right, one squad, they just hit their EDCs and they can tank it. Then you have to land the second squad. And because the first squad used to have less damage onto an ADC, the second squad would not have the damage either. Even if they don't have an ADC, you would still not wipe them out. So then let's say you warp the second squad in, you would hit them perfectly, do everything right. They just tank it straight up in their face. And then they whoop out, and they're like, oh shit, and then they whoop out. That's usually what would happen if you do it like that. And you would never get the chance to land actually that third squad that you would need to wipe them out, right?
Yeah, so, the best you can do is to either cap them out with void bombs, which is actually kind of useful if you can time it right to get multiple squads in, but or you're just forcing them off grid in a big fight, which is, you know, that's your objective at that point. Create chaos, force them off grid, so it's like a 2v1 situation or something. That's like the best you can hope for.
Yeah, but now you would have enough damage for two squads to work, because I did the math on it. If you have, for example, Munins with like around 60k EHP on kinetic, you bomb them the first time, the ADC, they'll still take some damage and they'll still miss around a quarter of their EHP, even if they ADC'd. And then with a quarter missing, the second squad would have a chance actually to wipe them out. So that's why I'm thinking maybe this bomber buff is just enough to threaten the hack meta. You know, maybe not every hack. You know, obviously there's more tanky versions, like Eagles are still going to be a little bit too tough, I think. But in general, I think Munis are going to suffer if people figure it out. That's always the thing, right? You know how slow meta can, you know, develop. How long it takes people to actually realize, okay, this works, and like get some practice in and hit those runs. But I think the potential is there with the damage we got now.
Definitely. So a full squad of bombers now with Covert Ops 5 is 7 bombers, and with Covert Ops 5 using Racial Frigate, it's about 50,000 damage per run per squad with 7.
Yeah, and before that it was 40,000.
Yeah.
And so for those maybe that aren't aware with the whole bomber math, right? Obviously, it's a lot of math involved. It wasn't actually the damage alone that the damage buff that made this difference, but also the hit point. So all bombs got a little bit of a hit point buff, so they can tank more bombs. So you can put more bombs into one squad and bomb from one direction. So now you have 7 bombs instead of 6, and 7 bombs that deal more damage. So that's why it adds up to like almost a 25% increase, actually, which is quite significant.
And then once they remove the bomb, once they fix the bomb deployment skill, that's going to be huge as well.
Mm. Yeah, you want to talk about that one? That was your passion project for a long time.
Yes, it's always been. I've been fighting for this for years. And I'm so excited. Dude,
explain to people what actually you're talking about.
So, yes, happily so. It's my favorite topic. Bomb deployment is a skill that's supposed to reduce your bomb reactivation delay in your bomb launcher by 10% per level. So it should be 50% at level 5, which is what's required to use a T2 launcher. For years, and since I've been playing and doing bombers, so over 6 years now, it's only applied the 10% once, and it doesn't apply anything else. So you never got the extra delay reduction. So with it applying the full 50%, it's going to make it so your bomb launcher can fire roughly every minute or so, a little over a minute, which means it's now lower than the cooldown of ADCs and defender launchers, which is fantastic. So that means you'll have to stagger your defender launchers, you'll have to watch your ADCs more carefully. So it's,
yeah,
it takes more skill and effort and coordination to counter bombers now, which I think is a great thing. It still requires a lot of coordination and skill. Well, yeah, I mean, it's what I do, but it still requires a lot of skill and coordination to pull off multiple runs that quickly, but it gives you that ability, which is going to be really nice.
Yeah, and so there might be some people that think like, oh man, if it's quicker reload than ADC, that's too strong and stuff. I think they've never seen a bomber fleet, because like a bomber fleet, if you sit on a ping and you're waiting for that opportunity, sometimes that opportunity never comes, right? And sometimes it's just so hard to time stuff, to be on point with timing and all that stuff, like be in the right spot at the right time, have everyone hit the target and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of stuff that actually, you know, the FC has to actually make sure is in place, because otherwise you can have zero cooldown and you would still not bomb anything. Right.
Exactly. So it takes a lot of effort behind the scenes. And I think that's part of the reason why you don't see that many established bombing, like bomber groups to do bombing. It's just, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of practice to pull it off. I mean, it's easy to bomb a gate, I guess, but like actually bombing during big flea fights is actually pretty tough, I think.
You know what's easy? It's easy to bomb the gate, but it's hard to bomb the gate at the right perfect moment, though. It's like sitting there.
I'm pretty good at it, but yeah.
I know, waiting. I know.
There's been so many times that hostile fleets will see me in local and they'll warp to the gate like a 50k sphere and just like try to decloak, because like picturing that we're just sitting like 40 off the gate or whatever waiting.
Yep. That's another thing, like when we did the bomb runs in like 3-D, it was instantly the Pappy side pointing fingers at me for like tick bombing the gate and like loading the server or whatever. I'm like, Seiko has been doing this all this time. Nobody said a word, right? Everyone was like fine with it. And then I land a bomb run and it happens to be like a shit ton of stuff. And I'm the bad guy. That's not fair, right?
It's only because it was like five fleets or whatever at the same time. We were hitting like, you know, two fleets taking the Anzablex. And we're kind of ones that started that, I think, like during the war, was using the tie-dye to our advantage in the 1DQ Anzablex.
Yeah, you guys exposed that issue, actually.
Yeah, and I told everyone like a month, we started doing it like a month before 3DD happened. I was telling people, I'm like, this is going to be an issue once people figure it out. Like, be careful. This is a new meta that's been created. You all need to watch out.
Yeah, so to explain for people maybe listening in that don't know what actually, even the guys in the fleet might not even know why stuff happened and stuff, right? But just to explain it super quick, basically, if people get bombed in a certain amount of people get bombed at the same time, obviously the server load is going to be heavy, right? That means every other command, like that comes after the damage, is set to the back, basically, right? So it's going to say like, oh yeah, let me calculate all this damage first, and then I'll let you guys jump. The problem is if they get bombed hard enough with enough people, the server will never reach that point where it says like, okay, let me see who jumped. Like, no, there's more bombs coming in. So it's like, they always get priority. It seems, at least, that's how I, you know, experience it.
There's also a huge tie-dye in those systems. So there's a huge issue just jumping out in the first place.
Yeah. So the key factor then is to land that first run, right? That is always the thing. That's why when people said like, oh, Pano did this great run, I'm like, yeah, we did throw those last bombs. But the key factor was actually Alice, who boosh bomb runs the fleet on a gate first. So the server was loaded, right? So we could actually bomb and kill shit. And, you know, at that time, it's only simple math, right? So just to explain to people maybe what is going on in these kind of bomb scenarios, it's rare, but when it hits, right, man, is it painful.
And it's still, it's like not even a fixable issue. It's always going to be an issue now whenever you have tie-dye and you need to take a gate. It's all like, it's a dangerous new meta that's still effective to this day.
Yeah. And I bet Velasquez, you're so happy you don't have to care about bombers at all when you're low sick, right?
Yeah, it's like I'm aware of some ways you can mitigate it, but man, I don't want to deal with any of that.
You know what, actually, now that you're saying ways to mitigate it, I'm not sure if it's wise to put it out there, but one of the best and most effective ways is actually smart bombing them. Right? If you have a battleship fleet, let's say you have a remote red battleship fleet and you have to be anchored super tightly. Not sure if that's, you know, if bombers are in system, you don't want to be anchored tightly, but you could have a few guys with smart bombs just go a little bit outside and orbit you at like range or whatever. And when bombs come in, you just smart bomb the bombs. It's not that hard to hit these. And to kill battleships, you need to overlap with a lot of bombs. So that actually that spot, the death zone, I want to call it, where enough bombs overlap to kill battleships, especially today's battleships, it's not that huge. It's like maybe like 7 km in diameter.
So, with two squads, yeah. With three or more, it's only a 2.5k overlap.
Yeah, so you say that. I always think I would still say, like, sure, you can bomb from different sides, and then technically, if you are from opposing sides, from left and right, then the overlap is bigger. But then if you bomb from top and bottom, they're a little bit closer, so they would, you know, hit each other a little bit and stuff. But usually timing, like you warp people, they're never going to land in the same tick, they're never going to bomb in the same tick, so it always spreads out a bit, I think, from my feeling at least, right? So I'm like, whatever, Let's just throw those bombs, and then usually it kind of works out with timing, because some bombs explode earlier than others and stuff.
So, you'll never hit with a full seven with more than two squads. Like, you'll always have a little bit of a delay where some of the bombs will blow each other up because of the warp distance and whatever. But you can still hit with more. You know, you still hit with more numbers, so it's even better if you hit with three squads of five. Is still better than two squads of seven whatever.
But you can split it up with timing. That's what we did in that last bomb run in 3-D.
Yeah.
Right. So I warp one squad first. Then kind of guessed it. It's entirely, it's hard to time anything, to be quite honest. It's not like you never know how many seconds went by because, you know, it's data. But then you guess, then you warp the next squad in, and then you guess and warp the rest in or whatever. Like, that's what I did. And then the timing will spread the bombs out enough, right? So that's one way to do it still.
Yeah, that's what we started doing, like multiple squads of two, like two squad, multiple wings of two squads, just to make it a little bit easier as well.
Yeah, that's one way, I guess. I think lately what I used to do is actually just have those squads and I just warp the squad by squad, right? Especially in the hack meta. I mean, I have a technique, and we talked about that last time, remember? With the relative warp, you can actually bomb like a good sphere in front of hostiles to then bomb properly. But man, it's hard to set up. When you set it up, it's pretty effective. But I think on hex, it's now way more effective to just warp one squad at a time, right? Just keep bombing, rotate them in.
If you get the right programming signature and whatever with hacks, you can just warp them to zero.
Yeah, it's risky though, right? If they take a turn right then and there's a bubble, pow, that's quad's dead.
Yeah, or if there's a straggler, if you happen to get the wrong probe signature and there's a straggler, you all get decloaked, whatever. But
that, that's one of those Bomber FC struggles nobody talks about, is the probing part, right? You have to probe, and then you have to find the right, let's say, I mean, a lot of times it's monitors, so that's kind of nice sometimes. But then, which monitor, right? Like, for example, some groups, they fly with like five monitors and stuff. It's insane sometimes to find the right guy, and then is it the right guy? So you bookmark it first, and you warp to the bookmark, and also that's like, you can't ignore results, really.
I don't break your computer if you ignore results.
Exactly.
Like in a big fight,
you can't, like, so I mean, I do it sometimes, but you have to be so aware that when you ignore shit, you cannot hover anymore about the ignored results thing, because if you just hover over it with the mouse, your PC will freeze up. But sometimes it's the last resort to find stuff. When I'm getting too frustrated, I have to do it like that. But yeah, it's risky.
That reminds me of one story, if I could jump in for a second, is when I was fighting NSH, when they were deployed in Losec to us in Skurusana, we had around like 120 faction battleships, and they were defending with like a Legion fleet, and then they had like 60-something carriers, and I did my probes, and my prober was equally distant from all the Legions, but one Legion was next to the carriers. And I wanted to warp to the Legions that were away from the carriers.
Yeah.
So I accidentally warped like 120 or so Macarials and Balgorans like 15 kilometers off like the entire carrier blob. And I think they were just as surprised as we were in that sense.
Yeah.
We managed to snag one in like, I don't know, like a minute and then warp off. But you know, I definitely relate to the probing struggles. Like I saved it as a bookmark and it just wasn't populating for some reason. So I just risked it. And then I had Seto get very mad at me on Discord comms.
Yeah, that's such a typical thing. Like, you're sitting on a ping, like, 400 off, and there's a second fleet warping in. What are the chances that they're exactly the same distance as the target you want to warp to? Pretty slim.
That's exactly what I said.
But actually, you know, you'd be surprised. And then everyone's flying the same shit. Like, everyone's flying Munins and Serbs and Eagles. And then find the right Munin you want to warp to, right? Like, good luck. It's almost impossible.
That's why I just probe, like write down this probe signature of a mutant that you know is in the hostile fleet and hope they don't die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only like, you can only do it with like bookmarks and stuff like this, I feel like.
Yeah, the bigger the scale, I think you're right, is bookmarks and recs and saving locations, because it's, or else you could land 20 kilometers off 60 carriers.
Worse in big fights with bombers, you end in PDS range if you get it wrong.
Yep. Oh man, you say PDS. I don't want to get into Citadels, but man.
Here we go.
they announced some citadels. Oh, they didn't announce the stuff, but you know, I was expecting citadel stuff to be in this patch already. But I guess it's going to be coming on the next one. So I wonder if they're going to touch PDSs, to be honest. But let's see.
I've got hopes. I think there's going to be a lot of nerfs to... Oh, man. I don't know if you want to go down this path.
No. Actually, I mean, whatever. If you want to, like, you can. I'm just going to stay out of it.
I'll wait for the patch and come back.
Yeah. If the patch comes out, we'll do another episode.
If you go to PDS, I'm cool with it. It's cool. One thing that protects defending four desires.
Paragon says, if you can change PDS, how would you do it? You know, I'm not sure if I would change it. I'd just delete it.
I'd delete it. just get rid of it altogether.
If it cannot be deleted, the next best thing is to apply a cooldown to it.
Yeah, or what I suggested before, because I know deleting, it's not really... You can push for that as long as you want. CCP will never delete a mechanic, really, right? Or it's unlikely. So if you have to change it, I guess cap usage, right? Just limit it very hard on cap. So nobody can just like hit the PDS constantly. But they have to be thoughtful about it, right? A PDS here, a PDS there, like a cycle here, a cycle there. But instead of like, let the PDS go and just fucking, you know, pew, pew, pew in all directions. That's probably what I would do, but yeah. I push for deleting fatigue every week. No. Please don't. There's people that actually don't like jump fatigue. Because I think they have never experienced the times before, right? Where you get just like bubbled for 5 minutes and someone from the other side of the universe just, you know, jumps a sign or chain and, you know, kills you quick.
You can still do that with blobs.
Nobody does it, though. To be honest, you could still do it with blobs, but nobody does it.
We can conduit other blobs, so you can travel real quick if you get a group of them.
I moved, like, 40 Black Ops battleships from Cormona to Pureblind, and we did it with almost no fatigue with conduit, and it took us, like, 30 minutes. And I was just shit, I had no idea it was going to be that efficient.
No, you gotta have the covered signs in place, though, right? What a sign.
Yeah, we did, so it's like, it was... Like, surprisingly smooth.
Right, it's because
you get the double fatigue reduction, a different blobs conduits each time, and only one blobs ever gets the single fatigue.
That is pretty. I didn't even know. I thought you get fatigue if you take the conduit jump.
Still get you do get fatigue, but you get a double reduction. You get the blobs.
Oh, it's way less.
Okay, portal reduction, and you get the blobs jump from the blobs battleship itself, so you get a double reduction.
Hey, maybe blobs fleets are the future then. Who knows?
If you need to project yourself across like 40 light years, maybe, but
yeah, I mean, that's the worst part about battleships. If you want to fly battleships, man, you gotta be ready for some travel time. But if it's blobs, then you know you could get from A to B super quick.
Yeah, but you're adding like 6 times the cost for that convenience.
But it's battleships. That's all I'm saying. That's the new meta, guys. Write it down. All right.
If you want to bring blobs to fights, like, I'm down.
Another thing on the list, actually. So we talked about bombers. Do you remember what bombers were like before the Surgical Strike nerf? Because I think a lot of people forget. When Surgical Strike was a thing, that included the resist nerf and some other stuff. I forgot actually what else. I had the tech to... short range ammo buff, which is pretty nice, and I'm glad they kept it. So they had the reserve, the resist nerf, and then they nerfed bombers because they said like, oh well, bombers are going to be too strong then. Do you remember what numbers they were on actually back then? Because I don't.
We mean like the damage numbers?
Yeah, like what damage per squad did the bombers have back then?
I want to say 6. I want to say it went up by another 50%. So you're at 60k per squad. You're still at 7.
Oh, really?
You're still at 7. Like before the.
But I remember the 7 thing. Yeah, but like, so it totaled at like 60,000 per squad?
Yeah, I think so. I want to say. It may have been a little bit higher, 7 or closer to 65, but I want to say it was at about 60.
Man, bombers were strong back then. No formation warps either. Because that's the, I think formations are the main reason why we don't see many bomber fleets, right? Because even if you're a good bomber FC like you are, the opportunities to actually bomb stuff are pretty rare. Because they're, what, on a on a gate or while moving, hard on hex. On a warp in, that opportunity is gone. Like most people, if you're in local with bombers, most people just warp in a formation and then, you know, you'll never get a chance actually to land anything clean.
Yeah. Well, they do it. They warp at a point once and then they learn and don't do it anymore.
I mean, yeah, every now and then you'll find someone. You gotta be there, right then and there, and ready to go and catch him that one time. So, pretty tough.
Yeah, a lot of, like, if you're fighting, like, during a big fight, a lot of FCs will still use, like, point formations to get back into the fight. So sometimes you get opportunities, but once you get bombed a few times, you're just gonna start using, like, the stupid arrow or whatever.
Yeah, Morai says, Bomber's Bar spent an entire day trying to bomb battleships in Nalvula. Nalvula is not Losec, by the way, guys. It's Potchman now, right?
It's Potch, yeah.
And formations meant that they basically never had a good target, yeah. The thing is, those battleships, how spread out are they, right? Are they so spread out that you can't even bomb in waves? Then, yeah, it's pretty tough.
Well, I mean, the thing is, people want, like, the humongous runs where you get, like, the entire fleet in one run, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, even in a formation, you do a run, you're still going to hit a chunk of them. So, like, it's still kind of worth doing just to put damage out. But, yeah, it's not as spectacular as it once was.
Yeah, and the bubbles, of course, Higg bubbles in the way and all that stuff, yeah. I'm thinking, that's one of my thoughts, is Stukas might see a little bit of a return. Like, I'm going to do some Stuka fleets at least. Because of the two squad thing, you can anchor with two bomb squads and boosh around and stuff. So it's a 25 man little wing, but they can wipe out hex. They really can. So I might just try. We'll see. Maybe I'll build successful. Maybe I'll just wipe Stuka fleet after Stuka.
I'm going to say, you're going to need more booshers because your booshers on a 3 minute cooldown, your bombs will only be 1 minute.
Well, you don't need two booshers for each run, right? You need, you warp in, and you might already be in a spot. You boosh in, you bomb, you boosh out, and then you have another two booshers ready, right? So
yeah, that's what I mean. You just have to have multiple boosh teams ready because the cooldown will be so much less.
It'll be like 16 bombers, 4 or 5 booshers, maybe a Yen or two and a Keras, maybe a Dictum, something like this.
You also see a lot more bomb trucks having to go with them, which are blockade runners full of replacement bombs because. When you're able to fire them every minute, you'll be able to fire that much more of them.
Yeah. At the same time, I must say, you might also, I mean, a lot of times you don't get to bomb 4 times before you die with a bomber, right? It's like...
No, but you're probably going to bring, I'm probably going to bring one with me just in case, because like...
Yeah.
Or it depends how far away it is, you know, just have one ready. But yeah, it's... I think during big fleet fights, if it's especially if it's a battleship meta and they're like kind of spread out in a sphere, you'll get a lot of opportunity to just get smaller runs in.
Yeah. So what I actually wanted to bring up was actually the resist reroll. So what's your take on that one? From Surgical Strike, now back to 50%. Did it go far enough, or should we get more resist back?
Well, I'm just gonna be an advocate for wormhole space for a second. I love that they tipped their hat to that community because they were that C5 cat brawling community. That was almost like a sport what they did there more than anything. And that was really gutted with the resist change and combination with the fax nerfs at the same time. So I'm hopeful those guys are going to be able to pull something off with stuff like Dreads being able to tank a little bit more and Leshax being out of their meta now. I'm hopeful that they can have fun with Dreads again, because it was really unfortunate what happened to them. But I think, overall, it's a good middle ground that they chose. I think stuff like Technology has struggled amazingly for a long time. Like, no one was living with any Technology ships, and now it's like it feels like they actually have a chance again.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't have too much impact on the current meta of Hex. Right? They never had. I mean, when it came out, it was already the mech header. And everyone's like, it's going to affect everything but the Hex, because the Hex, they don't have all too many hardens anyway, besides the Logis, maybe, right? So I hope they go back to like the full on like revert, to be honest. Right? I'm not sure if that's the plan, if there's just a middle step, but I kind of hope they do.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a test, like just to see how it impacts it, and then they might adjust it from there, which is kind of cool. I like the smaller adjustments more frequently than one big change and then seeing how that happens.
And I'd be on board either way. It's better than what it was before, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the best part about this is actually that they basically say like, yeah, well, we did this and now we decide it's not beneficial anymore, so we change our mind and we go back on it. I think that's the most healthy thing we can see, really. It would be really, really bad if like certain devs would just like dig in and try to defend the surgical strike part. Like, if there's something bad in a patch that, you know, isn't good anymore, then we're like, I'm not sure if it was good at the time either, but that's how they worded it, right? At least they go back and say, okay, let's fix it. And that's it. And like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, you know, very much. And I think everyone does, right? Just a little bit of like genuinely just like what works, right? So that's some good stuff, I think.
I'm really interested to see how the Nullsec meta plays out with battleships versus hacks.
I want to be bold for a second. I think good groups are going to be actually applying when they can battleship fleets to a lot of scenarios, because they're already were competitive in a lot of cases. Like Wrecking Crew has been wasting fire munins with Typhoons a lot. So anything with any kind of application bonus or tracking bonus in the right setting where you don't have to travel forever and you're not trying to fight over Entosis nodes, you know, not that stuff, just like single system, single grid combat. I think in a lot of cases, there's a lot of battleships out there that can do a lot of work against hacks right now.
I agree.
Dominixes are also very underrated. Pre-patch, there was a time when it was Rogue Capel, they ran Berserker Dominixes with Joan Nav comps and track interceptors, and they just wasted Fraternity Munins. So it's like, in a lot of ways, battleships already were very competitive, just not in the super scale of 300 versus 300, but more like under 100 v 100. So the battleships were, in my opinion, strong in that setting pre-patch. So this post-patch is just going to make it even better. And I think a lot of FCs who don't understand that, who are only flying hacks and that's all they know, they're gonna get roughed up for a little bit by people who know better.
Something I always kept saying, the hack meta kind of hurt the FC talent, because everyone's so used to like whoop in and MWD on, anchor up, this is a primary
cap stable.
Yeah, exact cap stable. That's one of my points whenever people talk about minions. I'm like, why are they cap stable? Like, give them like, you know, don't remove like a percentage of tracking, who cares really? They're gonna play anyway. Like, why do they have to be stable too, right? So like, it's so straightforward, boring, that a lot of FCs are so used to this over the last couple of years, to adapt to something new, it's very hard for them. And you see that, like I see that all the time when I do the last Gilas, right? At a certain size, they're really strong. And I think a lot of FCs fail to see that, you know, Munin fleets of like, let's say 50 to 70, they're not, if they don't alpha you and you can wrap up, like, what are they going to do? Right? So they fail to see the, you know, the situation, really. They just think like, well, Munins are always best, right? And so they form Munins. And then they get their ass handed to them.
I could ask you then, would those FCs actually benefit from running autocannons over artillery against the Lars Gilas? Like, if they just get on top of you and just, like, kind of hang out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could. They could just reef it to autocannons. It would be a better comp against Gilas. Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say.
Even if any FC ever watches this, I don't think they'll ever do it, but I think that would actually be pretty funny.
It would be funny, yeah, but like, technically, yeah. But I mean, then on the other hand, you want to alpha Gilas almost, right? Because like, especially those specific Gilas, they're pre-locked by 10 other guys. So if you don't alpha them, the reps are coming in already, right? So autocannons might have like too much DPS, but they might also have not enough. And then even if you just bare, if you like I always say, like a target and half structure, like it's not going to get you anywhere. You have to actually finish him, right? If you almost finish him, that doesn't get it done. So I'm not sure. Like, it depends on the unit size, right? The minion fleet size. So
three ADCs.
Yeah, I don't know what we needed ADCs for either.
I wish they added some cool mechanic to ADCs, like it like stopped your ship for a minute or something or whatever. Like it disabled your prom mod for a minute or something. Yeah, like something that caused you to de-anchor or some issue, like it took all your cap or I don't know, something.
Yeah, or just like MWDs, it removes some of your cap pool or so. Right? So minions are not cap stable anymore, for example, right? It's just, I don't know. Let's not get triggered over ADCs. That's another podcast in itself, I think.
I like what they did with the battleships with the SIG suppressor, because it's kind of similar in the concept where you press it and you'll, depending on what you're fighting, you'll take a little bit less damage. But I like that it's just not an extreme like thing that you want to have on all the time in every single circumstance ever. It's just like the small niche thing. And it would have been nice if hacks had something in more of that nature, where it's just good in some cases and not everything.
Just not signature reduction, please.
I think maybe, I mean, I don't know. I think
I need your hacks to stay above 400 meter signature. Yeah, I wish it was only short range. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I think the like mid-sized guns should just have less, like long-range guns should have less range, and the short-range guns should have a little bit more, and then, you know, get a little bit... I talked about the speed penalty thing 1,000 times too. You know, there's mass on plates, for example. Why not have like a similar effect on like guns, right? Like if you fit long range guns, then you know, you get some penalty, be it speed, be it something else. I just think you know, heavy is sold, right? So what I envision would be like a chunky fleet like AX. You know, diving in, dealing damage, assaulting people, you know what I mean? And not this fucking kitey bullshit.
Yeah, it's just... either you're closing, either you're fast and short range, or you're slow and long range, but not, you gotta choose one.
Well, my hope is that if battleships can take off in Null, is that sig tanking with stuff like that, armor hacks, might be able to make a comeback, because nobody's really sig tanking too much anymore in these days. You know? But I'm kind of hopeful that I remember watching some of the old videos where it's just like Zealots hanging 15 kilometers off some like maelstroms or whatever. And I don't know, it'd be cool to have that kind of concept back in the game, just being able to sig tank stuff.
So seacoasting, like that little thing that doesn't work as it should be, was the bomber skill, right? The bomb deployment skill. My thing was always information a command link that doesn't counter painting, because why doesn't it? Like, the information boost to increase your EWAR power includes painting. The information that has EWAR resistance doesn't include painting, and actually I think just that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you want to have some sick tanking in the game, right? It's like, it's just a minor detail, but it's one of the reasons why it doesn't being used. Because I mean, Siku, you've been in test, and you guys have run like hard dreads and stuff like this. With enough paints, they apply to anything. You can run the smallest stick kind of shit, they still apply. They don't care. You just paint
less
them.
Tornadoes too. It's like they all had like just paints. Yeah. It's funny though, because there's like the rigs that increase like EWAR also do paints, but the involings don't. So it's like they already had the code in the rigs to make all the EWAR effect the same, like target paints with sensor damps and all that. But they just chose to not have it for I don't know.
Yeah, it's and weird. I feel like it was an oversight, to be quite honest. But I'm not 100% on it. Maybe someone just thought, like, when it was implemented, like, maybe paints it goes too far or whatever. But, I disagree. Just put the paint stuff into the EWAR resist charge, and sick tanking has a bit of a better chance. I'm not saying that the holy grail of sick tanking, but, you know, it's going to help for sure, right?
But everything counts in the... in the scenario of if you live or if you don't, you know, with your speed, your sig, your resist, every little bit helps, which is why, you know, battleships keep getting these little tips for the past couple of years, every single patch over the years, and it's slowly becoming like vastly in battleship favor in a lot of cases, especially in Nightmares.
Yeah. Guys, what else do I have on the list? Crab beacons. Do you guys have a take on crab beacons?
The fact that you can do them in an asteroid belt is nonsense.
That is nonsense, yeah.
The fact that you can panic a rock doing a crab site is stupid. I hate it.
Yeah, you can do it in an asteroid. What was the first? Like, that's not an exploit now. You could do it just close enough on a like drifter wormhole or an ESS. So people that warp to your crab beacon land on the ESS or the drifter wormhole, which is like 50,000 km away or so, instead of your crab beacon.
Yeah.
So people will always find some fucking, like, kind of dumb ways to get around shit. But yeah, I don't know, asteroid belts? That doesn't make sense. But I guess
I just feel like that was like clever mechanics. That was probably an oversight, but like I feel like they should have fixed it if that wasn't intentional. Come on, man.
Yeah, what's the big problem with asteroid belts, though?
Just that you can panic. Like run the crab beacons in a Rorke, combat Rorks with just drone damage, and then they just are able to lock a rock and panic.
But at the same time, I don't know. At least we have Rorkers out in space, then, you know. Since they can't mine and they can't like do shit, at least they can do with those and be in space, I guess.
I mean, they're fantastic heavy jump picks.
That is true, but when was the last time I saw someone do that?
I mean,
actually,
just catch a super or something for that, but yeah, like
just today I clone jumped into Fountain because I didn't have a clone and I was staging anymore. Don't tell anyone, but. You know, I clone jumped into NPC Fountain. And what did I find? A tackle rocker full of like tackle procurers or whatever. So yeah, maybe I should use that thing again.
Oh, I've done that for memes. You just activate the jump clone bat bay and then just jump clone everyone to their arc and get in battle procures. Yep. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, we did that actually a few times, and it's pretty effective. It's not just like for memes. It actually works pretty well. So, all right. Next one on the list. A hot topic at the moment. Any take on the Prospector pack? Since we're talking about asteroid belts. You know, CCP has rolled out this pack new bros can buy or whatever. Was it $20 or $25?
$25
to get a...
retriever.
A retriever. It's like slightly overpriced, I guess, but
it's a cash grab. Like, you can buy that shit for 200 mil or whatever, right? Like, just buy Plex, man. So much more money.
So you guys don't have any hot takes on it? Like, I kind of have to hold back to not lose my mind, because I feel like the biggest issue is like just what it shows, what the mindset is, you know. I couldn't care less if there's some newbies paying €20, €25 to buy some overpriced shit. But just what they focus on and where it's going, right? This is the first step. That's my problem with it.
It just seems like a blatant cash grab.
Yeah.
I feel for the newbies who are just going to get Catalyst ganked after spending $25 and then it's just permanently gone. Like, those people, they're all rage quitting. Whenever that happens, they're done. And they won't be coming back.
I think so too, right? While a newbie that is forced to get there, you know, to get into the ship, get the skills, get the fitting, get the all on its own, get the is to buy it, of course. That newbie has enough experience to not get ganked, most likely, right? And that newbie is also, if he gets ganked, he's going to be like, okay, I can just replace it. I can, you know, get here again. Well, the guy that paid like €25, I don't know. That dude is going to be like, what the fuck? Like, I can pay €25 to then just lose it and I can't do anything about it? Yeah.
That dude's it's not a combat ship, it's PvE. And then also, like, how long does it take you to make back that money mining in HiSec or whatever? Like, my goodness.
Insane, yeah. Four prospects for 400 euros. I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna come. Our Cracker just said new trick for the FRT dude is doing them on a keepsa grid from a pass 3000 km away. But the pass can't do anything at 3000 km away.
Oh, yes, it can.
What? I mean, you could always, like, how far does it have to be from a citadel? 1000 plus?
Yeah, I think so.
You could, I'm just going to say it, you could have an Astros with a bomb launcher. Hopefully the bomb launcher gets, you know, deleted at some point, but whatever. You could have the bomb launcher and that thing reaches to 1200. And they don't run out, these bombs, right? So they explode at the end. So you just bomb something and then, you know, that something just, you know, disappears. And then the bombs will just keep going. So you could bomb your own beacon too. You could find these beacons hardcore with like citadel bombs.
In theory, you can just get a fast scepter that gets a bunch of bombs, then like circles around and gets like 10 of them, and then boots them all out there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'd lose the scepter, but like if you had like 30 bombs chasing that bad boy and they all hit it like roughly the same time.
I did play around with that in the war. That was one of the things we had ready for you guys on IHOPs and shit. It's like just bombing the IHOPs and stuff like this constantly with several citadels, or like having one guy just orbit a can at like a little bit more speed than the bombs, and the bombs will just stay on you, and then you boost him over to the gate and just sit still and all the bombs go off on the gate, right? I never got to do it though, so I was a little sad. But yeah.
Well, an Astro can only lock out to, what, 300?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
I know, the bombs will just chase you forever. Yeah,
exactly. This, the same for, like, so maybe I wasn't clear what I mean. Like, so you can have the beacon at 1,200, which is the pretty much exactly the range the bombs travel from the center of the citadel. And then you shoot, for example, you can do it only with the citadel. We tested a couple of things. You can just have fighters from the citadel out at the right spot. You shoot at the fighters, and before the bombs hit, you just scoop the fighters, and the bombs will just keep traveling, and then they explode at the end, right? At 1200, and that's exactly where the beacon is. So you could just keep bombing your own like crap beacon. Now, I don't know, you would blow up the beacon probably, but you know, it is a possibility. Just saying. I mean, I guess someone would have done it already if it was if it would make any sense. But you know, maybe someone just needed a little bit of inspiration and is gonna do it now.
Just kills the beacon itself and just doesn't kill any of the rats.
Maybe. I mean,
kills the rogue that's sitting there.
Oh, maybe you warp in with a fax. Instead of killing the rats, you just keep the beacon alive. And you just spam these bombs, and you just. But then it
sounds like a wormhole meta, like farming.
Yeah, so
drifter rats or whatever on the pause.
Yeah, if it was trigger based, right? Like stuff would get triggered and then respawns. Then it would be like completely OP, I guess. But actually, crap beacons don't work like that, so I guess it's fine, right? Sorry.
I don't really have a problem with crab beacons. Like, it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
it's a cool mechanic to use capitals, I guess.
Yeah, I hope that we're going to see more caps now. Because they are now cheaper. They drop a little bit more, right? But, yeah. They're not that, you know, spectacular, I guess. So we're getting close to the end, actually. Do you guys have anything you want to bring up that we forgot about? I want to talk about the Plex for Good stuff, but, you know, maybe you have something before that.
No, I'm just still doing my happy dance that I got bombed. Like, I didn't do it, but bomb deployment skill got fixed. Yes!
Yeah, I know. That's what, like... Oh, yeah, you convoked me right away when you saw that quote. Yeah, it's like, all right. How about some FC chat?
I was so happy.
Yeah. Well, I was happy too. Like, I'm curious how, like, we can actually utilize it. Let's see if we can get some quick turnaround bomb runs in.
Yeah, Pendo, I wanna take it if it's cool. I wanna give Losek a shout out just in general. There's actually a lot of cool stuff going on right now. Mimitar Militia is now alive again. A wormhole corp joined them and is being led by some guy I think named Bear That Cares. So Mimitar Militia is actually back among the living, and they're taking all kinds of great fights out there. Some rivalries are growing up in EUTZ with four groups going like in a 2v2 kind of like Baltrum and Dirt and Glitter versus Dockworkers and Shadow Cartels. So there's been a lot of great fights there. And even in USTZ too, there's like a kind of like almost like a bit of a war going on in Genesis with Deepwater Hooligans and No Forks Given. So just want to bring up Losek is actually being kind of alive again after a lot of stagnation. So if people are looking to change it up, Losek is actually hopping right now.
That sounds pretty good. Parchman seems to be, I don't know, not getting super busy, but Parchman seems to be picking up a little bit. Then Losek. Hopefully Nulzeg is, gonna follow suit and get some activity going, because it feels pretty dead right now. Sounds good. I was happy to see like a healthy Losek. I think it makes for a good Eve, right? I think it's essential, basically. Eve is horrible. Panda, which battleship are you most excited to try now?
No, I'm going to answer for you. When are you doing Artillery Abaddon's again in Initiative? Go ahead. Stay alive.
I don't know. Artillery Abaddon's? Adi Abaddon's? I mean, I always liked the idea of it, just because you're throwing the wrong guns on a ship, right? I always like that. That is a little bit more creative. But I don't think we will, to be honest. I think Adis in that in that meta, then Adis are not going to do it, because you're not going to alpha shit. But, I mean, Baddens, you might see as in Baddens. Baddens are not too bad. I'm not sure what Shines wanted to do. Was it Apoc Navies? I'm not
day of the patch, Apoc Navies were bought out as well as Mega Navies, and I was like, all right, so either a big group just bought out and wants to do faction Baltex, or this is some just market speculation.
it might be market speculation. I don't think we bought them out. We might not even have settled on a ship, but I think we're gonna go with Tech One because we have to supply them, right? Especially like Tempest Fleet issues. I remember the first time we actually looked at Tempest Fleet issues like ages ago. And then we were like, oh man, Tempest Fleet issues are great and like it's not too crazy price. And then we looked, there wasn't enough seeded, we couldn't supply them. So there's no way we can fly them actually. So that might just, Tempest Fleet issues might just become a little bit of an issue again, right? But when you say Mimata Militia, by the way, that's where I started PvPing, in the Mimata Militia. If they are super active, you can, I believe, get the Tempest Fleet issues from that LP shop, right?
Yep, you can. I don't know how much time it takes, but it is part of the LP rewards.
Yeah, so maybe that is pretty stable then. So, maybe Tempest Fleet issues is what we were going to do.
One thing I like kind of boring about it, though, is that they're very slow and you don't have many mid slots. And the fun in Eve is in the mids.
Or the highs, to be honest.
Yeah, that's
cool. Having some extra nudes and smart bombs and shit. I mean, that's pretty fun. I'm excited about Domis, to be honest. I like Domis. And the application, like you talked about already. Application is pretty cool, so but they're more challenging. It's drone boards, and we'll see. All right, then. So Plex for goods. I'm not sure if the Twitch API is back. Nope. But I can link you the thing. This is the thing from Shines. So Plex for good, if people are not aware, guys, CCP is starting a new campaign to support the victims of that Ukraine war. And I think it goes to... I'm not sure what it says. You guys have to look it up yourselves, I guess. I think it goes to... to refugee camp. So it's not like supporting people with weapons or anything. It's just about the refugee stuff. But if you want to help with that, guys, I suggest you just donate a Plex to the corp called CCP Plex for Good. But they said it's going to be minimum 200 Plex, because it's going to be too much if like there's a million dudes like giving like a Plex or two. So 200 Plex minimum, and they're going to match up to 250,000 euros of the donations. So that's a pretty solid thing. So I hope we can pull that off. I think the highest donation goal of any Plex for Good campaign was 190,000, which was for the Philippines. So maybe we can reach 250. That would be pretty dope. And so for that thing, and by the way, if you see anyone scamming, right, CCP, that's the only exception really when it comes to scamming in EVE. Report them, and they are not, they're gonna get punished pretty quickly, right? So make sure you report people that are trying to scam. And so to get more eyeballs on that, Shines and some other guys, I think Gobbins is involved, so Horde is gonna be there. I'm not sure who else is involved, but we're gonna have like a battleship brawl in a specific system. I think he must have put that out there, right? So it's going to be an oh shit, which is basically the middle part in between Imperium and Papi space. So both sides should be able to reach that pretty fairly, pretty quickly. So that's where we're going to have a brawl. And then if you are not in any of those groups and you want to just join from Jidda or whatever, I'll do an NPSI fleet basically, right? And we're going to shoot just whatever. So we're going to go from Jidda. We will not fly battleships though, because from Jidda, it's a little bit further. It's not crazy far, but still, it's not battleship travel distance. So we might just go with a little bit smaller, not too small. Right? We're still going to have like something effective. Yeah, if you want to join in on that action, be around on the 19th, right? So I linked the Reddit thread in chat, so if people want to check that out, you can do it there. And yeah, I hope I didn't forget any details about that, but if I did, you can just look it up. There you go, Pulse linked the EVE Online article. And yeah, guys, let's get 250k. That would be pretty dope, right? And yeah, we're reaching the end. So you guys didn't have anything to add, I guess. We already did that part. So let's say.
I'll sit here.
Thanks for...
I was just going to say, if you're like, tell the Bill of Bombers out there, I'm not going to mess with the OSHA brawl, and I hope no one else does for Bombers. Like, just let them have fun, man. It's for a good cause.
Yes. I mean, I guess Bombers are going to be fine. It's not that easy to bomb shit. Like.
Yeah, I just said... kind of goes against the grain for me, so I'm not gonna I'll be there in like a battleship or something, you know.
Yeah, it's probably better to be there and non-bombers, because you know, bombers could be also, they cause a lot of tide. Expect some tide, my friends. So you know, maybe we want to avoid bombers a little bit. But yeah, all right then, guys, thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure to you guys to have you guys on. And we should do it again, maybe when the Citadel patch is coming out. Hey, you know what? We should do like a massive like FC, like super FC chat when Citadel's getting a hit. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, throw me in.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and everyone on stream, thanks for hanging out. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And see you guys in space. All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.